So we're back with another episode of Standing on That Bridge of Bridging the Gap. You thought I forgot the title, didn't you? No,
a little bit.
I did not, because I always keep this thing moving. I am one of your hosts, Officer Darren Chenault, and I'm here with my co-host,
Kelly Cantwell.
Kelly Cantwell, P-I-O.
That's correct.
Can you tell me what P-I-O stands for?
It stands for Public Information Officer.
I like that.
That's the same thing as police officer, to be abundantly clear.
That's still awesome. So, hey, today we're joined by some, I always call them superstars. You guys are superstars. You keep our UC community safe. So I'm here with Rob Schran and Mike Walker. How you guys doing today?
We're doing well.
Good. Everybody hanging in there?
Yeah. It's a good day.
So tell me this. Kelly always jumps on me real quick because I always like to dive in and have a big old splash and go straight to the question, but I got to ask you to introduce yourself. So I'm going to start with the boss here, Rob Schran. Can you tell me a little bit about yourself, where you from, how long you've been doing this, all that good stuff in life?
Certainly. Rob Schran. I work for the University of Cincinnati Public Safety Division in fire prevention. I've been with the university 15 years now. I grew up on the west side of Cincinnati.
West side. Here we go. West side. I hope it wasn't west. Was it west side?
It was LaSalle.
Okay. I'll give you that, Lancer. Sorry about that.
All right. So I'm Mike Walker. I also grew up on the west side.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
But I went to Roger Bacon. I'm a Roger Bacon kid. I've been here at the university for 3.5 years, retired from the city of Cincinnati Fire Division, and now I work here as a State of Ohio Fire Inspector for the university.
I love it. Two GCL guys on the show today. March Spartans down the field. See, I know that. I know that. I know that song.
You know, you're in Cincinnati when everyone's talking about their high school.
Right. You're right. That's how we...
It's a classic Cincinnati thing.
You know, the song that you know is not the original.
Oh, it's not.
No, it is not.
It just, right. just killed me.
They changed it from Men of Victory to something else, to whatever it is today. It used to be because we were all boys' school.
See, so, I guess I just learned something new.
Yeah, it was changed. It was changed for
you. Can check that off your list.
I will check it off my list.
My sophomore year was the first co-ed year.
Really?
OLA and Roger Bacon combined.
Yeah. I just learned something new. Thanks. Got Roger Bacon, LaSalle here today representing University of Cincinnati.
I can't tell you anything good about LaSalle.
Well, let's see if we can learn some other new things.
Yeah, let's dive into it. Tell me real quick, Rob, for you, what's the responsibilities? What responsibilities does fire inspectors have here on the campus of University of Cincinnati? Sorry about that. That was a lot.
That was a lot.
Yeah, it was a lot.
Well, you know, keeping the University of Cincinnati safe is a lot, too. The task that fire prevention has within public safety is to conduct fire and life safety inspections on all the UC-owned and operated property, which is growing immensely every year. So we try to do at least one annual inspection on every building, and then based off of findings, we'll do return visits to ensure that we have compliance and safety in those buildings. For dormitories, we're doing multiple inspections a year, making sure that our residential halls are safe. We coordinate with other divisions within public safety and the University of Cincinnati, doing plan review and giving input on the installation of fire safety systems here on campus to ensure that they meet the needs of the building, our occupants, and fit into the makeup of how we monitor and operate our systems. We also coordinate with facilities departments and other divisions to when systems are impaired. That can be from a pre-planned impairment to a outage of our sprinklers or fire systems. We coordinate with vendors when they come to work on our systems to ensure that the occupants of those buildings are still safe when they're being worked on, and that they're not inconvenienced with
false alarms or construction related.
I'm gonna jump in there real quick,
yeah,
Rob. You talked about doing inspections on all these buildings with the University of Cincinnati. I mean, that's a lot of buildings. Would I be wrong in that?
No.
So what's the time frame? Is it like a time frame that you have to have a building inspected by the time it rolls around to the next time? Like, does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
Mike, go ahead.
We try to do our residential housing 4 times a year.
Okay.
And a couple times they're occupied.
Gotcha.
So you have to maintain the safety features, exit signs, lighting in stairwells, storage.
Mm-hmm.
You also have other entities that are in the building, like housekeeping, that are overstoring stuff. You got facilities
that
are overstoring stuff. And we're short of storage here on campus, hence why we have Fishwick.
Mm.
But no one likes to use Fishwick because of the distance that it is. So what we can't have is you making the kids' lives unsafe by not protecting their area. And so we do those 4 times a year. We're in the regular buildings twice a year, and more if we find violations. If we find violations, we're there repeatedly every 30 days until we get it fixed.
Gotcha.
Using your resources and your facilities or whoever is responsible for fixing it. So we try to keep everybody safe. It's important to know that everybody, if they see something, say something, because we can't be everywhere at all times. There's only 4 of us, and Rob's normally busy with meetings all day, so, you know, we try to get everywhere.
So we have 4 inspectors, fire inspectors for the whole University of Cincinnati,
yeah.
And that includes Claremont, Blue Ash, and the rest of our off-campus areas?
Yeah. That is correct, yes.
How many properties would you say, Rob?
Quite a few.
Yeah, quite a few. So I think the list
grows daily.
I think Jeremy told me we're around 140, 145 now.
And all that has to get done in a timely manner.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. And that's, it has to be recorded. Rob's on us constantly about keeping records.
Right.
Proper records, you know. If something goes wrong, that's how it will be pulled back is, you know, what was the documentation.
I got you. So. Good deal.
All right, so this is probably a really basic question for you all, but I feel like a lot of people don't really understand the difference between a fire alarm and a fire drill. And I know that's part of, you know, your duty, so can you talk about what that means?
Well, 2 separate things, right? We go with the fire alarm first, right? Fire alarms, our system, we have a very extravagant fire alarm system here, and it's monitored by our 911 center up at Edwards, right? So if a fire alarm is pulled, a pull station or a smoke detector is activated, someone calls, we respond to the fire alarm to protect property, mitigate any resources that need to be handled. We have Cincinnati Fire Department that are responding, and what we don't want is someone tearing up our property for a false alarm.
Yeah.
So firemen tend to tear doors up if they don't have keys, right? They have all sorts of tools that they want to use that they didn't get to use, and they see this nice shiny door and they want to pop that door. Well, the door could cost us $20,000.
Sounds like you're talking from experience.
Yes, yes,
okay.
Yes. You know, yes. So we try to get there to open the doors, to get everybody in and get everybody out, and then get the building reoccupied for continuity of business. The quicker that we can do that and find out if, you know, what was the cause. It's normally human error. The system very rarely fails.
Right.
We do have, sometimes there's gremlins in the system, but for the most part, the system very rarely fails. It's mostly human error.
Tell me this, Rob, are you guys on 24 hours out the day, or is this something that, Is it just like a 9-to-5? You guys come in and inspect, and then you go home.
So public safety is staffed 24,
okay,
365. Mm-hmm. However, the fire prevention division is a Monday through Friday group. We share the responsibilities of responding to fire alarm activations with the alarm tech division, which is a group of individuals that are tasked with just servicing our fire alarm systems. Gotcha. And maintaining them, testing them. We also share the responsibilities with emergency management, with our facilities department, and then ultimately our uniform division within public safety. So our police officers will also respond to fire alarms and interact.
I was just curious. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry. I was just curious, like, if it was a fire or something was going on after hours, say, you know, Officer Chenault's working 7 p.m. and I see something that doesn't look right. You know, am I calling dispatch to call one of you guys to come in to see what's going on with this, or how does that work?
So if there's a identified issue or concern,
right,
we have on-call individuals within our emergency management division that take up an on-call status and can coordinate with specialty groups within public safety, whether it be fire prevention or so forth, to react to those types of situations. The other part was fire drills.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Fire drills are a pre-scheduled and predetermined activity. We are required, due to our occupancy and the type of work and that we do here at the university, to conduct emergency preparedness drills,
right,
which include activating the fire alarm system and exercising our evacuation procedures. And then based off of what type of occupancy, whether it's a residential hall, assembly occupancy within a building, or a business, dictates the frequency that we do our drills. I know we're coming up on the start of the academic season. You know, one of the things that we're required to do is a drill within so many days of the start of school. We're also required to do a drill in the nighttime hours.
Okay.
So to practice what it would be like to evacuate a structure during low light conditions.
Gotcha.
And what we're looking for is, you know, operation of the fire alarm system, how people evacuate. You know, we're always preaching don't use the elevators. Mm-hmm. You know, we're trying to get a feel of individuals that would need additional resources. Mm-hmm. You know, we're always exercising our policies to seek refuge in designated areas, and then testing our intercommunication systems with our 911 systems.
So Mike, tell me this. You see students to know what about fire safety?
Well,
especially the ones living on campus.
I would say the first thing would be is don't ignore the fire alarm. That's the first. That's the most important.
How often does that happen?
It happens a lot. It happens when we are pulling fire alarms for scheduled fire drills. You know, I've been standing outside of buildings and looked up in the window and seen kids looking out at me, right? So they get to the point where they don't understand what a fire drill is and what an actual alarm is, because you're going to get the same alarms, you're going to get the same siren, the same messaging, you're going to get the same bells, right? It's going to sound the same in a drill as it would be in a fire alarm. Right. But the conditioning of it is get out. Don't ignore it, right? Also, they should know two ways out. When you move into your dorm, you move into your housing, you should always recognize two exits. Mm-hmm. You want to know where the stairwells are. And by doing that, you create a path of egress for yourself. Is my dorm door closer to this staircase or closer to this staircase? In all of our staircases, we keep identifications, whether it be A through J. You know, we identify our staircases, we identify our hallways. Find out where that is. Locate your exits. The other thing is know where the fire extinguishers are, right? If you're cooking, don't leave your food, right? Stop burning popcorn. Macaroni needs water.
Sounds like we did that in office. He said it needs water.
Macaroni needs water. You know, I can't tell you how many times they take the Kraft macaroni cup, throw it in there, close the door, fire it up, walk away. Next thing you know, 4 minutes later, you see me. And wow. You're like, I was just making macaroni. Well, yeah, you really weren't. But yes, macaroni needs water. Those things are important to know. Other than that, there's so many things that that go along with being a young adult and taking responsibility for yourself, but not recognizing the possibilities of what could be danger is an acceptance that they have to take on of responsibility.
I got you.
You know, we expect a lot when they come here. And we don't typically have a lot of bad behavior. We have just lost Crosley Tower, where, you know, we had strange things going on, fire extinguishers being discharged. And the fire extinguisher is not a fog machine. you know, important things to
UC
know.
Students.
UC students.
Enjoying, right? Yes, the having a good time.
The exit sign should not be moved from the hallway to your room. That is for the engineering students taking the exit signs when they graduate, you know, things like that. Those things are part of the fire safety program here, and they should recognize that.
What about sprinkler heads?
We've actually had that. Rob, what building was it that had the sprinkler head? They had the boom box on the sprinkler head.
The boom box on the sprinkler head.
Yeah.
Where we it's happened. Clothes have been hung at our hotels and on our dormitories off of sprinkler heads. Apparently, it's very enticing to hook that hanger over the top of a sprinkler head.
Okay.
Yes. I know a young lady years ago who ruined her evening gown.
Okay.
It did not make her event due to breaking one of the sprinkler heads. So. Wow.
So if you hang something on a sprinkler head, what happens?
40 gallons per minute.
Ooh, that sounds like all your stuff is getting ruined.
Yeah, and everybody below you.
Oh, so you're going to make a lot of friends that way.
Right. Water finds its lowest point.
So if you're on the top floor of Morgan's Hall and you want to make a lot of friends, blow the sprinkler head and see how many rooms you can flood.
Yes. I would not recommend that.
Yeah, that's not a good thing. Hey, I do want to back up because you said something interesting. When you guys have a fire alarm or drill, I'm sorry, and the kids are supposed to evacuate, and you said you saw kids up in the building, are there any repercussions because they stay in the building?
You know, it's a dangerous behavior.
Okay.
And we don't want to, you know, preach that is a safe behavior. So ultimately, you know, we put a lot of effort into designing the most sophisticated fire alarm systems with early notification as possible. And they're there for the purpose of letting the occupants know that there's a threat within the building.
Okay.
You know, we've greatly decreased, just in my 15 years,
right,
the number of alarm drops that were nuisance alarms here on campus. And that is because of the equipment that we've installed in our dormitories. You know, Calhoun, Saddall, Morgan, Scioto, just in my time, have been upgraded and overhauled. Very nicer conditions, by the way. They did a fantastic job of remodeling those buildings. And we're seeing the fruits of that labor with a decreased number of false activations on our fire alarm systems.
But we still respond to over 300 alarms a year.
Yeah, because I see it when it really happens. there's a fire, heaven forbid, and the kids who didn't take it serious stay up in their rooms. Now you've been putting other people's lives at stake because firefighters or police officers are the one that have to run up there.
Absolutely.
I got you. Okay.
Absolutely. It takes away. We have a finite number of individuals that can respond to emergencies on campus, utilizing the city of Cincinnati's resources or our county partners, whether it be in Blue Ash or city of Reading or Central Joint in Claremont. And yeah, that behavior takes away from the activities that need to take place in eliminating the threat. And you're just putting yourself in danger. To answer your question, we do have resources through the Code of Conduct Office, but I'd much rather get the word out through avenues like this and public education that evacuation is the appropriate behavior.
So generally, you're not really trying to get people in trouble. You're just trying to keep them safe.
Well, we're trying to teach them a pattern of behavior. Right, how to respond to this emergency.
Because we do have a fire sometimes. Yes. You know, I think in the time I've worked here, we've had at least two fires in residence halls, and they're not during the 9 to 5 hours. They're late at night at 10 p.m. or something like that.
Is that because they're making macaroni and cheese without water?
Yes, a lot.
I mean, we can sit here and joke about it, but it's really serious about the whole situation and making sure that we understand what's going on. That's key.
One of those fires was a Christmas tree. It was a real Christmas tree that I think they took a break, went home, came back. They left the Christmas tree, and there was no water in the pan. So they turned the lights back on, and the Christmas tree caught fire. So the same behaviors that we're trying to teach them are really the same muscle memory activities that firefighters and police officers do while they're training. We train for that moment, and we're trying to get you to train for that moment, because what you're really doing is that firefighter or police officer, they're not going to hesitate to put their life on the line to come and get you. But why is that necessary? Right. If you're evacuating, then they only have to extinguish the fire or surround the perimeter to make sure that no one gets hurt. But if you don't come out, that changes the temperature of how they respond to the situation.
Well put.
So now they have to respond, get there, tank up, get in there, grab you, and then get you back down safely. Well, a lot of things can go wrong in that. So why put their lives in jeopardy just because you didn't want to get out of bed? So, there's a serious tint to it, but we're also trying to teach you something.
Oh, I get it. I totally get it.
So wow. On the flip side, what about employees? What do you wish employees knew more about fire safety when they're coming to work on campus?
So the first thing that we preach to our employees is know the atmosphere you're working in, know the building you're working in. Public safety publicizes emergency evacuation procedures on our public safety website. So if you are an individual that works in the new Old Chem building or the Brunstein structure, you can go onto our public safety website and pull up those buildings and find the unique evacuation procedures for those buildings. Mm. We talk about knowing the safety engineering pieces that have been added to your building. So specifically fire extinguishers, know where the fire extinguishers are. If you need a education piece on how to use a fire extinguisher, we have on our public safety website our fire extinguisher training class. So individuals can go to our public safety website and take our fire extinguisher training and get a refresher on the use of fire extinguishers here now, on campus.
Are you teaching that? Or who's teaching that class?
I
I am not teaching that
You're
class.
You're not teaching that class?
But it was a well-put-together presentation
okay.
on the use okay. of fire extinguishers. You know, no other types of pre-engineered fire safety equipment on campus. You know how to work the hood systems in your laboratories. Know how to use the kitchen systems if you're working at any one of our commercial kitchen applications.
Gotcha.
You know where pull stations are and how to activate pull stations. You know, be present of where the initiating devices are in terms of smoke detectors, heat detectors, so that you do not partake in activities that would add false alarms to that. You know, when reacting to an emergency on mm-hmm. campus, you know, we tell you to get out, get others out, make early notification, and confine the fire. And if it's in a incipient stage, you know, and you feel comfortable, use the provided fire extinguishers.
Good deal. Good deal. Well, I know we're running out of time here.
We sure are.
I know. I'm surprised you didn't cut me off while I was talking. Usually she cuts me off. She does one of these things or just puts her hand and like, mute, Darren. But I just wanted to say thanks for coming on. Definitely appreciate what you guys do for the UC community as well as our faculty and staff. I just appreciate it. I know the students appreciate everything that you guys do as well. So if you want to go ahead and wrap this up, but before you wrap it up, though.
Oh.
Got to say thank you to 1819 Innovation Hub for allowing us to be here to do this podcast. So we thank you guys for doing this. I'm always wrapping things up. So now Kelly feels like, you know, she's got to be the one. So you can go ahead and wrap it up.
Well, this was awesome. We really appreciate your time and giving us a little dive into fire safety on campus. It's such an important topic. And thank you to everyone for listening to episode 10.
Yep.
I think we're on episode 10.
I have no idea. I keep dropping this.
You're along for the ride.
Right. Rob Strand and Mike Walker, keep doing what you're doing.
All right. Appreciate you guys.
Love you.
Appreciate it.
Have a good one.